Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael, Faith and Freedom Show here in the Eagle 104.3 FM and loving every minute. Hey, we got some good stuff in the news, interesting things. I'm going to talk about the Supreme Court nominee, Miss Sotomayor. So we're going to check that out. I'm going to check out some articles about her. I have read one of the opinions that she's gotten a bad rap over, and I thought it was kind of fascinating. We're going to be looking at that today. Now, this is what drove some of my topic today. There is an article, again, in the Citrus Daily. It says Governor Crist opposes nomination of Judge Sotomayor. So Governor Charlie Crist, on Tuesday, he went on record opposing the nomination of Judge Sonia Sotomayor to the U.S. Supreme Court. And I'm going to read this article because it's interesting to see what he says. And I'm going to be dealing with this today. So if you wonder about why people are opposing or supporting her, I think this is a good thing to listen to. It's 1-800. I'm sorry. I lied. It's 888, toll-free, 888-850-1872. You'd think I'd be able to remember it with all those eights. 850-1872. And that 850-1872 goes along with the 888 toll-free number. In a special release to state media, Crist outlined the reasons why he did not support the nomination. Quote, "As governor, I've had the honor of appointing dozens of judges in both the appellate and trial courts. Selecting a judge, particularly to a Supreme Court, is one of the weightiest and most important decisions any elected executive can make," Crist said. "While I have not had the opportunity to meet personally with Judge Sotomayor, a crucial step in the selection process, I have reviewed and reflected upon her testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee and come to the conclusion that I cannot support her an appointment to the United States Supreme Court." There's another quote by Crist. "Judge Sotomayor is worthy of respect for her many accomplishments and a remarkable story of success. However, I have strong concerns that the Judge Sotomayor would not strictly and objectively construe the Constitution and lacks respect for the fundamental right to keep and bear arms. For these reasons, I cannot support her appointment to the highest court in the land." Let me go, though, to a decision she made with regard to a Second Amendment case that is in controversy. Let's see what she said about the Second Amendment and whether she was going to hold a piece of legislation as being constitutional. We will uphold legislation, that's we, the court, we will uphold legislation if we can identify some, watch this, reasonably conceived state of facts that could provide a rational basis for the legislative action. Now, that could be very dangerous if she thinks that a rational basis will justify an unlawful act with it. And it depends on the situation. There's times when you've got a legislation that is on its face void. It is just screamingly contrary to the Constitution of the state or the federal government or whatever it is. And it could be on its face completely void. Well, and completely in its totality against the Constitution. But for judicial restraint, now, see, this could be taken as one place as she's leaning toward too much toward this rational basis test thing, this rational basis, a rational basis for the government doing some wicked thing to you, an oppressive thing. You know, they rationally thought of it. Well, whose rationale are we going to trust, right? So sometimes this rational basis idea, somebody who doesn't understand justice will say, well, if they had a rational basis for what they did to you, too bad, so sad, even if it has an appearance of totally violating the Constitution. The rational basis test is there to say, really, did they have a rational basis for the legislation? Did it conform with a legitimate purpose of government? And as far as some things, if they can't even say, well, it's actually not qualified as a legitimate form of government, legitimate purpose of government, well, nevertheless, can we see some rational basis in there? If we see something, if there's some indication that there's a rational basis, we will not throw the statute completely out. That's really the test of that rational basis. But even with the rational basis, I mean, it's hard to disprove rational basis because are they supposed to judge the rationale of the legislature? In some cases, they have that it gets put to them that way. And there, and it is irrational. I mean, it's few and far between, but there should be a time when, even if there's a rational basis with the putting together the legislation, in its application on how it applies to you, then they can say, on this basis, it's unconstitutional to enforce it against you. So those are these weird little nuances. So she may be very well, very maturely exercising judicial restraint here. If we can perceive any kind of rational basis with regard to this legislation, we're going to uphold it. That's the legislation. Now, the enforcement's a whole different issue. She said legislative acts that do not interfere with fundamental rights, right? It doesn't, on its face, look like it's going against you, carry with them a strong presumption of constitutionality. And the appeals court concluded the 14th Amendment, she wrote, provides no relief. Now, they're stretching all this together, so we don't know the context here. But if it attacks your right, your privilege to carry arms, and your immunity from being prosecuted for carrying those arms, then it can't just have a rational basis. I mean, in its face, that's leaning toward unlawfully shafting you. It then, the burden goes on the government to prove that there was a reason to have this legislation, even though on its face it looks like it's intruding with your privileges and immunities. So depending on how this article, it looks like this article may have stretched some things together that would either, and based the way they put it together, it might seem that she's kind of flippant and not considering that the 14th Amendment is sound, and it sounds as if, you know, there's some gun law against people that she says, well, it's sort of rational, and she's approving it. Well, it may be that she's just approving, not throwing out the whole act together. So you have to watch the way some of this stuff is put together. Now, so that's what we're trying to do here. We can't just, with our passions and our political persuasions, throw the baby out with the bathwater. And so I think the question is, with regard to a judicial appointment, especially to the Supreme Court or especially to the Court of Appeals, does this judge have the ability to use restraint to make sure that they deal with the baby and fix the baby who's in the bathwater without having to throw the bathwater out for all the other babies? That's kind of a strange analogy. But with the ultimate decision in this gun rights protection law, they say ultimately that she and a group of others determined that the 14th Amendment did not provide relief because of this protection of the state's rights to police their own, within their own borders, with regard to things relating to guns or arms. But let's see what this article says that the Ninth Circuit. Now, the Ninth Circuit is known for extreme, just a lot of weird stuff. You'll see things happen in the Ninth Circuit that are certainly not consistent with what's happening in the Federal Circuit or other circuits throughout the nation. You got a lot of weird things that are happening out of the Ninth Circuit, but they will have a tendency, I would think, their history is to allow the federal government to intrude upon the state whenever possible. That's kind of the impression you get. But the Ninth Circuit said, we therefore conclude that the right to keep and bear arms is deeply rooted in this nation's history and tradition. Now, the Ninth Circuit has not the tendency to look at things the way our founders did, in that there is law that comes from the Creator. And actually, this gets down to the law of nature, a man's right to protect himself and to protect his neighbor as he sees fit, according to his obligation and his conscience before Almighty God. I mean, that's ultimately what we're accountable to, is our conscience before Almighty God. But then there's just this rational survival of the fittest thing that's going to kick in, you know, Christian or atheist alike. So that's what's natural law. Even what is naturally plugged into your being, to your ability to get by in life, in society, and survive, even the law of nature shows that it is a natural right, which is stronger than fundamental rights. But that is a right. It's not something that we give each other. It's something that's natural. And that's what the founders understood. So the Court of Appeals, even the Ninth Circuit, said, we are therefore persuaded that the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment incorporates the Second Amendment and applies it against the states and local governments. So this stuff about Justice Sonia Sotomayor, I think we're kind of getting duped. I think we're getting a little bit of, even this article I went through here, you know, I'm getting excerpts from some of her rulings, and then I see that it's kind of connecting dots according to the persuasion of the person who's trying to put the article together. So I think we're all going to be very surprised. And I would say even people judging the Second Amendment, you know, this, I don't know. I think people don't know what her decision will be with regard to any cases that come up with regard to life. So far, she has upheld a state's rights prohibiting certain behaviors with regard to the murder of the unborn. I have friends who are constitutional litigators and constitutional scholars, and they won't have anything to do with abortion regulation legislation because they say you can't legislate evil. It's murder. So you can't say, well, you have to get permission from your parents in order to do murder. That's, he said, that's not outside the ability and it's outside the power. It's outside the authority of government. The only thing the government should do is have the ability to police those who are murdering the innocent. I've got this organization is going to be coming in and give me an interview with regard to some information with regard to a massacre where you have innocent people, or they may be guilty, I don't know, but when you get in a war kind of situation where somebody takes up arms, they're going squarely at you, and they come to a point where they say, okay, we'll give up. You got a choice. You're going to fight to the death, or you're going to surrender. Okay, if you surrender, we'll apply the appropriate rules of taking prisoners and things like that. So as soon as they make themselves vulnerable like that, they say, okay, we're going to play under those rules. We're going to make ourselves vulnerable. And you shoot them in the head just because they're inconvenient. Well, then there's a wrong there. Is you're killing people that don't have the ability to go man-to-man with you. If you're going to kill them, put down your arms and go at it, man. Go fisticuffs. Do something, but let them have a manly way out, okay? Let them have their natural rights if you're real tough. But you don't murder somebody who's completely helpless. That's innocent blood. That's wicked. So how much more so ought we to protect those who are alive, who are mankind, but happen to be innocent and vulnerable? So let's see what she decides on that. Maybe somebody will finally go to the Supreme Court and actually argue the law, not just summary statements misconstrued and out of context, out of Blackstone's commentaries, and not a quote of one Bible verse and skipping the next one that really goes to the point and contradicts what the court decides. Maybe we'll get somebody there with some chutzpah who will actually speak ultimately revealed law, which is higher than natural law, and which is higher than fundamental law, which is higher than positive law. So that's what we do here on the Faith and Freedom Show. We're going to try to get to these issues of the day on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, and the basis of right versus wrong. I really want you to check out our website. It's faithfreedoms.org. I really want you to become a member of Liberty Works Radio Network. I am a member of the Liberty Works Radio Network. I take money that is mine that I can give, and I give it to Liberty Works Radio Network. I've become a partner, $10. Actually, it's $10 a month, or I guess they say give us if you'll donate $100 a year, that would be helpful. And what it does is it covers costs. What we've got is a bunch of thrill seekers bringing this Liberty Works Radio Network to you because they give a hoot about you. Any of your advertisements you do, help us with those costs. But really, folks, this is a ministry of love. And we appreciate you listening to the Eagle 104.3 FM. Again, tune into our website, faithfreedoms.org. And we're looking forward to tomorrow. We're going to come back with more of these adventures. I'm excited. Hope you are too.